There we go. It's good to meditate on the scriptures and get a little depth to our understanding. We live in kind of a superficial society that's full of rhetoric. People say the same things over and over when they talk about sports or when they talk about politics or even when they talk about the Bible. So I wanted to spend some time looking at the word regarding God as our shepherd. Now, rulers in the Old Testament were often called shepherds of their people. And why is this? Well, sheep represented the basis of a man's wealth in Old Testament Israel. And when Job's riches are talked about, the first thing they talk about is that Job had 7,000 sheep. Why is that important? Well, flocks provided food to eat. They provided wool to be woven and to make almost anything, and shelter. They actually made their tents out of tanned hides that were sewn together. And God himself is the shepherd of his people, as we just read. And Israel could call on him when in need of protection or guidance. Ezekiel stresses the tenderness of the shepherd as he uses this image to express God's love for his people. And the shepherd's attitude is one of loving concern. Now, why do we need to have this example? Well, God is spirit, and we can't understand spirit. So what God does is he reveals himself to us in a way that we can comprehend. And the Bible teaches us about God in many metaphors. Well, one is farming, and people that are farmers can understand the sowing of seed and the reaping of the harvest. Another is fishing. Peter was a fisherman, as were his brothers, and so we understand catching the fish and separating the fish and bringing them to market. There's a common theme in both the Old and New Testaments talking about God as the Good Shepherd. Our little language lesson for today, we like to do that, is the word for shepherd in Hebrew is roeh, and it means one who tends, and the Greek verb to tend is poimen. We need God as our shepherd. Why do we need him as our shepherd? Because we are all sheep who have gone astray. Think about your life before Christ. Where were you going? What were you doing? And did you have a purpose? Now that you think back, you realize you weren't going anywhere. You might have been going there fast, but you weren't going anywhere, and that you didn't have a purpose, and you didn't have an eternal goal. Were you just kind of wandering around aimlessly, like a sheep without a shepherd? Did you feel like you had no protection from the beasts of the world? So what are the duties of a shepherd? In John chapter 10, and I'd encourage you to read the whole chapter, John chapter 10, but we'll look at some of the verses there. Verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So in the morning, the shepherd leads his flock from the fold by going before them and calling them. The shepherd leads, and the sheep follow. The shepherd herds or gathers his flock. For any of you that have seen sheep herded, you know how it works. The sheep herder calls the sheep, and some of them will come, and some will not, just like us. You have to go get some of them. Some of them are harder headed than others. They can go off by themselves, or they can go off with a group. You might need a shepherd dog to run after them and nip at their legs to get them to come. You might need to put your staff around their neck and physically grab them and pull them. You might need to tap them in the rear to coax them in the correct direction. Some of us have been tapped in the rear before. Sometimes you might need to pick one up and carry them if they're injured or if they've fallen into a hole or a ravine. And most of us have been picked up and carried before. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock, on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they are scattered on a cloudy and dark day. We have spent cloudy and dark days scattered. When we're scattered, wandering around the world, he sought us. He looked for us. He found us wherever we were. And you guys all know where you were on that dark day. And he found you. Even now, now that we're in Christ, we still wander. He lets us out of the pen in the morning, and we're grazing in the good food, and we still wander. And he searches for us. And the question I have for that for you is this real to you? I'm trying to be practical here. I'm not trying to be intellectual. This is very practical. Luke 15, verse 4, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" The duties of the shepherd include feeding the flock by bringing them to the pasture and watering the flock, either by filling a trough or leading them to a watering hole. And I'll just remind you of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." So he feeds me and he gives me drink. At evening, the shepherd brings back the sheep to the fold and checks to see that none is missing by passing them under the rod as they entered the door of the enclosure. So he stands there. The sheep pen is like a circle full of rocks in Old Testament Israel with one gate. And he has like a stick, his staff, or another rod, and he counts them as they come in. And he actually knows them each by name, and they know him. And so they pass what they say under the rod. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37, "I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." The shepherd checks each sheep into the fold by a motion of the hand. I get the image here of our homes being the sheepfold. I don't know how you feel about your home. My home's kind of a respite from the world. And I'm in the sheepfold there. And I come in through the front door and I'm okay. And I leave and I go out into the world and I have to come back. There's beasts out there. It's scary out there. We go out into the world, we are fed, we are watered, and we have the opportunity to wander off. He gathers us back to our home. And this is something that you've heard before, but the world can be a scary place if you look at it. Some people spend all their time looking at it and paying attention to the world. If you look out there, there are wars. There are killers killing. There are storms destroying. There are earthquakes and fires destroying. And there are mines that are caving in. We are to look at the shepherd. The shepherd watches the fold. He watches the fold throughout the night, as acting as a gatekeeper. The sheepfold was usually enclosed with one gate for entering and exiting, and the shepherd often slept right there in the gate to make sure nobody could get in and get out. He had to be alert for those who would attack the sheep, and they would often attack the sheep at night. And shepherds had to be tender toward the young and the feeble. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young." Shepherds also have to be fearless because they might encounter attacks of wild beasts, occasionally lions, wolves, leopards, and bears. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, we find, "But David said to Saul," when he was going to go up against Goliath, and Saul was questioning this young man's ability to go up against the giant, David says, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Now, they didn't have a whole lot of equipment. The shepherd's equipment was pretty simple. He had a robe that was usually made out of sheepskin, turned it inside out depending on whether it was hot or cold out. He had a pouch, probably about this big, that carried food. He had a sling, which was his big weapon, and he had a staff, which was his other weapon. So if he was from a distance, he could throw a rock with a sling, and if he was close up, man-to-man combat, or man-to-bear, he'd use his stick. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 40, then he, David, took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself fine, smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The staff served both as a weapon to be used against enemies and a crook for the management or guidance of the flocks. So we go back to Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I've never really contemplated why his rod and his staff comforted me. The rod was used to count me as I came into the fold. That's comforting to know that you're counted as you're coming into the fold. And the staff was used to protect me from the enemies and to guide me into the right path as I'm constantly straying. These images are very real images to the Jews of the day in the Old Testament times, but maybe not as real to us because we don't live in a pastoral community. So we might use the example today of our God as the coach of a team, guiding us, teaching us how to play our position, or as the CEO of a company, keeping tabs on everybody under him. Maybe it seems like the CEO doesn't do any work, but he goes around and he checks on everybody and makes sure that this guy's doing his job and gets rid of that guy because he's not doing his or whatever. And then I was going to say one of our politicians, but that might be tough to picture. The idea of the shepherd illustrates God as our leader. Psalm 77, verse 20. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. One interesting thing about the example of God as our shepherd is that the Egyptians, who I'll use to represent the world, hated shepherds. So all of us can understand how the shepherd is a good example of understanding God. We get that. We kind of conceive of the Egyptians couldn't, probably still can't. They held contempt for sheep. They didn't value sheep for food or for sacrifice. The world did not think highly of the profession of a shepherd. This was a humble way of life, sleeping out under the stars or in a cave. Yet God clearly identifies Jesus as our good shepherd. So even today, we can still see Jesus as our shepherd, and we see the wisdom in that, but the world doesn't. The world thinks we're foolish. They have no value for that. Ezekiel, going back to chapter 34, verse 23, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. Now just remember that when Ezekiel's writing this, it's hundreds of years after David lived. So when he's talking about my servant David, he's talking about Christ. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And then back to John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. And then finally, repeating Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with them, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. and gently lead those who are with young. Now, many scriptures refer to King David as the shepherd of the people of Israel. They refer to God as our shepherd and Jesus as the good shepherd. So what does this all mean to us? What do we do with this knowledge? Well, first, and this is usually the hardest, we need to acknowledge that we are all like sheep and have gone astray. So that's a hard thing. Again, the world doesn't value humility. And we need to have it. We have to acknowledge that we have no direction in our lives outside of God's will and His plan for us. And this isn't a one-time thing. This isn't something we acknowledge on the day that we meet Christ and, okay, I acknowledge that my way isn't right and God's way is right and, okay, I got that straight. No, it's an ongoing process that we have to continue to acknowledge that God's way is what we want. Jesus, as the shepherd, searches for us until He finds us. He calls us by name. And remember that we must respond. We must not be stiff-necked people. He leads us. He provides food and water for us, and He saves us eternally. And He saves us from the wild beasts of the world. And this is no small thing. Now, many of you may have met a bear in the woods before. And Samuel and Noah and Sandy had the opportunity to meet a black bear while we were in Yellowstone. Now, they didn't get very close, but it's kind of fun to think about going to see a bear until you actually see a bear. And if he's looking at you, it's not that fun. Grizzly bears are up to 9 feet tall, and they can weigh up to 800 pounds. So several times larger than Papa Mike. And meaner. So you would be really happy if you had a shepherd who could protect you if you had to sleep at Yellowstone Park at night under the stars protecting some sheep that he wanted to eat. Jesus, our shepherd, does protect us from that enemy. He can protect us from other enemies too. Now, living here in this county, we don't have bears that we're worried about. But we do have other enemies. We have the enemy of crystal methamphetamine. And that enemy's everywhere. That enemy's even in Bozeman, Montana, we just found out when we were up there. You wouldn't think it was there. We have the enemy, the beast of alcoholism. We have the beast of pornography, which is easier than ever to get with the internet. We have the beast of lust, just to let us know that there's nothing new under the sun. You don't need the internet to have lust. We have the enemy and the beast of greed. And we have the beast of apathy or complacency as well. And Jesus is able to protect us from all these enemies. We must look to the shepherd as our leader, our provider, and our protector each day. We must trust in Jesus to do what He says He will do. This book is full of promises, and you need to believe them and trust in them. When we put our trust in the Good Shepherd, we are not upset by the circumstances because we know He is leading. We just have to follow, and we constantly have to seek His will. I'll finish with some well-known scriptures. Israel's shepherd pastors his people from his kingly throne. In Psalm 95, verse 6, and Stephanie sang this, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." And the figure of a shepherd is applied to the Messiah in Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. 1 Peter 2, verse 25, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And 1 Peter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Amen.